Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 10th August 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
So, Lee, has the latest Bank of England policy update altered your outlook for the British pound?
Yes, I think certainly in terms of the kind of key takeaway, is that we think that the Bank of England's latest policy meeting has helped to reduce downside risks for the pound going forward, especially kind of moving in towards the kind of year-end period. Obviously, at the last policy meeting from the Bank of England, they didn't change their monetary policy stance, although they did send a very clear signal intended to try and dampen expectations for the implementation of negative rates later this year. If we look at the comments from Governor Bailey in the press conference, he was pretty clear saying that we shouldn't expect them to use negative rates. That's currently not the plan. So to us, they obviously felt they needed to come out and tell market participants or sort of businesses, households, that right now they're not seriously considering putting negative rates in place. So to us, that's an important development from the Bank of England. Obviously, they didn't completely rule out the possibility of negative rates going forward, but I think in terms of like the timing, it's looking obviously much less likely now that we'll see negative rates before the end of this year. And if they are to be implemented at some point in the future, it's more likely to be kind of further down the line as the economy recovers. We did see the Bank of England acknowledging that research from the ECB had suggested that negative rates were more effective during an economic upswing rather than during the kind of current kind of downturn. So they also expressed as well concern that the negative rates could further undermine banks' balance sheets at a time when they were currently being hit as well by the severe disruption from COVID-19. So to us overall, I think the comments kind of strongly suggest that if the Bank of England is to implement further easing later this year, it's more likely to be in the form of a further expansion of their quantitative easing program and or potentially strengthening the forward rate guidance. So that's kind of our kind of key takeaway. We were also surprised somewhat that the Bank of England is also still has a more kind of optimistic outlook for the UK economy and the recovery from COVID-19 than other major central banks like the ECB and the Fed. Certainly the Bank of England kind of did revise higher their outlook for the economy this year, and they are expecting inflation to rise back towards their 2% target in 2 years' time, and then beyond that actually overshoot their target. So to us, that still suggests that the Bank of England isn't fully convinced at this stage that they'll need to do more easing later this year. They kind of expressed optimism that the high-frequency data is pointing towards a stronger rebound in consumer spending than is widely kind of expected by consensus. But we would still say at this point that we are a little bit more cautious, sort of pessimistic over the outlook for the economy going through the rest of this year. So we're still kind of sticking to our view that we think they will need to do more easing, potentially as soon as the November meeting. And we would kind of highlight, obviously, the kind of pretty obvious kind of downside risks to the UK economy later this year. We obviously have the job furlough scheme is due to expire at the end of October. That could lead to another wave of job losses. We also have the potential for further disruption from the economy if COVID-19 continues to spread and escalate going forward. And then, as always, there's also the risk of a more disruptive Brexit outcome as we move towards the end of this transition period. So given those risks, we still feel that it's a lot more likely than not that the Bank of England will have to ease again. So short term, at least, I think given the Bank of England's ruled out negative rates, that does reduce some of the downside risk for the pound from here. But we are kind of still doubtful over how sustainable the stronger pound would be going forward.
And then looking at the dollar, Lee, do you think building emerging market strains, could that trigger a broader correction higher for the US dollar?
We think that's a possible upside risk for the dollar going forward. Certainly, as we've seen recently, the dollar has been under relentless selling pressure, particularly against other major currencies such as the euro, Swiss franc, and the pound so far in the third quarter. Over the past week, for example, we've seen euro dollar, it has hit new highs up towards the 119 level, cable up towards the 132 level, and dollar Swiss also breaking below the 91 level. So dollar is still under downward pressure against those majors. But we would also highlight that it's also been notable that the dollar performance more broadly starting to become more mixed, especially against emerging market currencies. So on the one hand, you have obviously Central and Eastern European currencies such as the Hungarian forint, Czech koruna, Polish zloty, and Romanian lu. Those are all outperforming against the dollar alongside the euro, and that's certainly been the case over the past month. Similarly, some of the kind of Asian currencies as well, such as the Chinese renminbi, Malaysian ringgit, Singapore dollar, Korean won, those have also strengthened against the dollar as well to a lesser extent. But we would kind of highlight the kind of contrast there, which is starting to develop in terms of the performance of the kind of more higher yielding emerging market currencies, such as the Turkish lira, Russian ruble, South African rand, and also Indonesian rupiah. Those have all notably started to underperform against the dollar. And that is certainly gaining greater market attention over the past week. So the weakness that we're seeing in the likes of the Turkish lira, South African rand and Russian ruble, that did start to become a little bit more evident back in June. The Russian ruble in particular did weaken notably over that period, even as the price of oil has risen to fresh highs. And while that does kind of leave the ruble looking more attractively valued right now, we do think that this kind of recent period of ruble underperformance does reflect more kind of building concern from market participants over potential downside risks to the ruble going forward. Obviously, one of the kind of potential downside risks is the upcoming US election and the increasing likelihood that we've seen of the Democrats winning that election is viewed as less favorable for US and Russia relations going forward. That could increase the risk of the US putting in place more sanctions on Russia. So certainly that kind of negative dynamic could already be starting to weigh on the ruble. And then more recently as well, we'd also highlight the recent weakness we've seen in the Turkish lira, which certainly has intensified over the last five trading sessions. And that's more, I think, driven by sort of negative domestic developments in Turkey. In our view, we think there is certainly signs emerging that the Turkish policymakers appear to be willing to scale back some of their support for the Turkish lira and allowing it to adjust lower to bring it more into line with the weaker fundamentals in Turkey. This sharp weakening of the lira we've seen over the past week that has sort of brought back memories of the currency crisis period from the summer of 2018, as market participants again starting to focus on the diminishing amount of FX reserves available in Turkey to support the lira. At the same time, we've seen evidence as well of a deterioration in the outlook for inflation, and also the current account deficit has also widened materially in recent months. So the fundamental picture is certainly weakening in Turkey. And as we've been highlighting as well for some time, we still feel that the kind of monetary policy and fiscal policies in Turkey, that the current settings are still too loose. And that does kind of leave the lira vulnerable to further weakness going forward. And I think certainly pressure will continue to build on policymakers in Turkey to act to tighten monetary and fiscal policy to try and provide more support for the lira. So I think in terms of kind of the broader fallout so far, it's been relatively muted in terms of if we look at where the kind of spillovers are most seen, it's more in the kind of higher yielding emerging market space, in particular the South African rand. That did weaken very sharply over the past week alongside the Turkish lira. That was down about 5% against the dollar. But we would still kind of highlight, if we look back at the experience from 2018, on that occasion, the instability in Turkey eventually started to have a kind of broader negative spillover for financial and FX markets. And that could be the case again going forward. If we look back at 2018, euro dollar on that occasion, for a brief period, it did fall by about four big figures during the first half of August in 2018. And also subsequently, we also saw the euro weaken on a more sustained basis towards the end of 2018. And I think on that occasion, we were arguing, I think also many people have argued that part of the reason for the weaker euro later in 2018 and 2019 was driven by the slowdown that we saw in the eurozone economy, and part of that was driven by the hit to domestic demand in Turkey from the currency crisis. We saw obviously the Central Bank of Turkey on that occasion, they were forced to hike their key policy rate by around 16 percentage points to help stabilize the lira. But obviously one of the negative implications of that was that it did undermine domestic demand in Turkey, and that fed through to weaker trade performance for the eurozone economy. So these are the kind of downside risks that I think we need to think about again, which could take some of the shine off the euro, which has obviously performed very well over the past month in particular. So I think overall, just to kind of sum up, I guess the developments in the EM space are certainly adding to our kind of caution in the short term, and making us certainly more cautious over continuing to chase the dollar lower from these levels. Like I said, we've already seen a very kind of sharp and relentless sell-off for the dollar against the majors over the past month. But we think in the short term, it looks like it has become kind of heavily oversold right now. And the kind of developments we're seeing in EM, that could be the trigger which leads to at least a short-term correction higher for the dollar.
Right. Well, thanks very much for that insight, Lee. Have a good week and speak to you soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.